I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Kelly Harp, co-owner and designer of Harp Design Company. Kelly lays out the long road that brought her and her husband Clint back to Waco, the beginnings of their partnership with Chip and Joanna Gaines, and how she deals with managing her burgeoning public persona. But first, it's the Small Business Spotlight, presented by American Bank. Enough cash changes hands every September and October that Waco haunted houses in Elmont can stay that way 10 months out of the year. Seemingly abandoned, harrowing from the outside, skeletons hanging on light poles and roof trusses. But for Dana Anderson and her husband Tom, whose first date at a haunted house went so well they decided to open their own together 30 years ago, the scares are just part of the story.
My name is Dana Anderson, but I go by Frenzy Rigor Mortis, curator of the Museum of Horrors.
Dana and Tom always loved the Outre, and when property came available in Elmont in the early 90s, they decided to make their hobby a business that they would expand incrementally.
We built as we could afford to build, and we got that building and we had this one open, and then a few years later we got a deal on a Kwanzaa hut and we put this one together.
3 decades of work have transformed their property into a lichen lover's paradise. Employees dressed as vampires, ghouls, and goblins shuffle thrill seekers in between 2 buildings. The Dead Zone, originally known as the Museum of Horrors, features monsters and zombies, and is tame in comparison to the second venue, known as the Texas Chainsaw Nightmare.
This one in here is real intense and gets the adrenaline going because they're chasing you with chainsaws.
Ah, yes. My favorite way to spend an evening, stalked by a lunatic with power tools. I'm not the only one who thinks this is crazy.
My best friend forced me.
Dana said that people of all ages love Waco haunted houses for the controlled chaos it provides.
We're not really going to hurt anybody, but it gets the adrenaline going. And it, you know, and a lot of people, they bring friends out so they can watch them get scared.
Attendees are required to wear masks and enter the houses in small groups that keep parties separate to avoid the transmission of COVID-19.
There's a monster out there and we're trying to keep everybody away from it.
The only monsters Dana hopes to see every year are her employees, usually a smattering of young people with a taste for the macabre. The unique environment provides scare lovers with an occupation they'll never forget.
I have such great people each year to come out and do the monstering for me. And I've had so many of them tell me that later on that it really gave them a sense of being part of something bigger and that it impacted their lives. So that's what I always try to tell them. You'll always have a story to tell, no matter if you're in a nursing home and you're 90 years old. Somebody will say something and you'll say, "You know, I worked at a haunted house one time and I made somebody pee on the floor."
Incontinent or not, Waco Haunted Houses welcomes any guest through Halloween night. And if you're in a giving mood, visit this Saturday and donate a pint of blood to Carter Blood Care to get free admission and a t-shirt. The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with 3 locations in town, including an expanded branch at Highway 6 and 84. I'm now joined in the studio by Kelly Harp. Kelly is co-owner and designer of Harp Design Company. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
Thank you, Austin. It's nice to be here.
It is so nice to have you, Kelly. I have been dying to ask you this question since I met you back in Waco, re-met you, I suppose. But what's your Waco history? How'd you end up here?
Oh, such a good question. I love that Waco history. My Waco history is that, how far do you want me to go back? I went to Baylor in 1997, but I grew up mainly in Tyler, and we would vacation in Kerrville, like a lot of people. And so we would drive through and get on 35 in Waco and drive by the Baylor campus. And every year I would wake my parents. I would tell my parents, wake me up. I want to see Patton F. Hall and I want to see like the green light and everything. And so I just was like enchanted with the idea of going to Baylor and coming to Waco. And so I got to do that. I got my wish, which was amazing. I came as a freshman and spent 4 years here. Met Clint. That's how we know each other. Met lots of friends, dear friends that are still friends. And we moved away. Well, we got married right after. Clint's a year older than I am, but right after I graduated. And we moved to lots of different places. We have a checkered past of moving around. But then we ended up in Houston, and we were really just feeling like we needed to change, all of that. Clint probably said that when he was here. but anyway, we ended up just exploring lots of different places to move back to. And I actually got the opportunity to come back to Baylor to work on a master's degree. So that's actually how we ended up back in Waco. And we thought we'd only be here like for a few years. But we just like, well, a lot of stuff happened. But we also just loved being here. It was like, oh my gosh, this is a feeling of like coming home. We totally didn't expect that. But we just, you know, we had two children. We had our third here. Our kids started school. We just developed community and just completely fell in love with Waco all over again. So,
when did the Harps return to Waco?
Oh, man. That's a hard math question. Let's see. I have to, like, count it back with my kids. I think it was, 2011, the end of 2011. Yeah, we came back. We lived over at Cobblestone. Are you familiar?
I don't know Cobblestone.
It was a little condo over by Baylor because, again, we thought we'd be here for like a year and a half maybe for me to finish. Two kids over at Cobblestone. Our neighbors were grad students, we were told, ends up they weren't. Clint had to like go over a couple of times, like in the middle of the night, and be like, "Hey guys," like interrupt the beer pong,
tone and
be
it
like,
down a little bit.
"Our kids are trying to sleep." It was very interesting.
And what were you studying for your master's?
I was working on a master's in American Studies, which I ended up, I did that for a year, and then I got pregnant. Well, I got pregnant and then did that for a year with Camille, our youngest. And I took a pause for like a semester. And interestingly, at that point, I was just about to go back. And that's kind of when everything exploded with Harp Design Co., which we had started together in Houston. and so at that point, it was like either go back to school or help with the business, which needed a lot of help. We were wanting to open the storefront and all those things. And so I chose to go back and work and not go back to school, which I'm now actually back in school, not at Baylor. But anyway.
Yeah, I saw Clint post on social media this week that you were up late studying.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I am actually working on a master's to become a therapist. With Pepperdine, it's all online, so that's kind of nice. But yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting how things have a circular nature in life. So
you met me back when I was in middle school.
Yes.
And when Clint and you were living in the back house of some dear family friends of my family in Dallas.
Yes.
And I always thought you guys were so cool. And it was just funny because shortly after Julia and I started Pokios in April 2015, we were just downtown, and I ran into Clint and you, and I'd never seen Fixer Upper. I didn't know that you were on the show.
Okay.
I was just like, oh, my middle school. I was like, Julia, my middle school babysitter is here. Yeah. Can't believe they live in Waco, and they're coming to the truck.
Yeah.
And so what took you guys from this path of missions? Mm-hmm. I think at the time you guys were planning on moving overseas, maybe mm-hmm. moving to Paris as missions.
Yeah.
But how did you go from that into this life of entrepreneurship? And of course, you can still keep missions as part of your business.
Right. Well, you know, I really feel, and I know a lot of people who come out of Baylor and are part of the Baylor community, I feel one of the things Baylor does the best is really helps people, young people, think about what is their mission in the world. And of course, that can have to do with their religious faith. And it doesn't have to, you know, both. So I feel that Baylor gave us such a gift of us thinking, what can we do in the world? What is our purpose? What can we give to the world? And it just took us a lot. We tried a lot of different gifts. So we did. We worked with a church planning organization in Europe, and we were in Paris for about 9 months. Lived in Holland as well for 3 months, which was amazing, and why we named our middle daughter Holland. So we did that. We also worked, Clint worked with a youth organization, Christian youth organization. So we lived in Florida for a while. Then we moved back into Dallas to raise money, which is when I met you. And when we had that experience of working with missions, and then we came back to Dallas, actually, which is when I started listening to NPR, really, for the first time, which is really fun. But anyway, I had a teaching degree, so we came back and we had, like, no money, and we're like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? How are we going to take care of ourselves? And I started teaching. Clint actually worked with a Baylor Connection family there in Dallas. And we just kind of spent time going, what are we doing? Like, how, you know, should we go to seminary? Should we make this more of like a formal formal calling, or do we feel differently? And excuse me, we kind of had to work through all of that and spent several years kind of trying to figure all that out. Ended up moving to Houston for Clint's job, and which was another Baylor Connection, interestingly. And kind of we're in Houston like, okay, so now, you know, we're going to have kids and have a family. And what does this mean? Worked with Ecclesia, which is Chris C's church. And, of course, he started UBC here. So that was another Baylor Connection. And thought again, okay, should this be our vocational ministry, our mission? You know, should we go to seminary? Thought through all that again. Really wrestled with that, ended up thinking, I think that's not the calling on our life. And so Clint was like, you know what I really want to do? I really want to build furniture. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And at first we really wanted we thought, should we make this a nonprofit? Should we build a table, give a table, those kinds of things? And we really wrestled with that. And ultimately, that was kind of when, like, Tom's Shoes and everything was really coming out. And I was right. Like, you know, I really think we should just go the conventional business route and then see where we can give. We also were really interested in the idea. We'd worked in lots of different situations. We were really interested in the idea of creating a company. We had no idea would that employ just the two of us or more people or whatever. But that was really community-oriented and a good place to work. Anyway, in the middle of all that, we were like having these huge dreams, and Clint was like, well, what are you, you know, we were both thinking about Harp Design Co., but it was really tough. We had young kids, so I inevitably ended up watching the kids a lot to let him build his skills and everything, and that was really hard and a hard dynamic. So I ended up saying, you know what I really want to do? We have no money. You're about to quit your job. What I really want to do is go back to school. And he was like, great, because the only way that's going to happen is if that's meant to be. And so I started looking around and ended up coming back to Baylor, ended up getting a scholarship. It was all so serendipitous, really. And that's how we ended up back here. And how much longer do you want me to go? It's a really long story.
No, that's a beautiful recounting of what brought you guys here. I wonder what was going through your mind when Clint said that he wants to do furniture, because you guys had starts and stops. You had tried a million different things, yeah, like you said. And I can imagine a more calloused person being not receptive to it. You know, like, you said you were going to do this and then you didn't do it. And look where we are now. We don't have any money. How did you deal with the fear of your husband saying he wants to start something again? Mm-hmm. And how do you support him in that role? You said, of course, you were taking an outsized role with the kids, but even giving like the emotional support that's needed for someone when they're starting a startup?
Yeah, those are good questions. I don't really know. You know that feeling of like when you're doing it, I don't know, you're just doing it. You don't necessarily know. And I'm not sure I still even have enough perspective to totally speak to that. But I think we had tried a lot of different things, and we were living in Houston. We were kind of very, very fortunate, I mean, to have gone from really having nothing to moving to Houston. We had a great job. It was with a great company. It was in sales, so we had like built that up, you know, start small and then you kind of build up. We had a home there, and yet we still didn't feel fulfilled. And I think that we were, I think that feels so uncomfortable, but it's also a gift, because if you can allow yourself and be honest with yourself that you do not feel this words are hard to say, feel fulfilled, then at least you can look for solutions, you know, and you're open to that. I think a lot of times it's when we're just trying to pretend, no, this is fine. This is fine. We're fine. You know, that's you when we wake up, you know, 5 or 10 years later going, I wasn't fine, you know, and that's also really hard to deal with. So I think that we had enough experience and also spiritual training, I think, to be able to be honest with ourselves. So we knew we didn't have the answers, but we were willing to ask the questions. That's what I would say. And we did start, I actually had a business on my own first, making and selling like baby clothes and children's clothes. As my kids got older, the sizes went up. And I really enjoyed doing that. And then I'd started doing like home decor. And so like pillows and that kind of stuff. And so I really enjoyed that. And I wanted to work on that together. So that was good. I was super afraid of like finances and money and all of that. But I think I also just saw, I do remember kind of having an awakening and being like, well, I can make Clint into who I want him to be. But is that really fair? Like, just because we're married, does that mean, like, you know, just kind of that. I think that's a question that anyone who chooses to be with another person has to ask, you know, where do I start and you stop? And, you know, of course, a marriage is about compromise. But people can't not be who they are, if that makes sense, or that can't go on for too long. So it was really scary, but it was something that I really wanted to do as well. And I was feeling unfulfilled as well.
My guest today is Kelly Harp, co-owner and designer for Harp Design Company. Harp Design really popped onto the scene as part of the Fixer Upper TV show that has gone crazy and completely changed Waco. But you guys were friends with the Gaines prior to that. I'm sure the fame has changed that relationship so much for you guys in so many different iterations over the years. What is y'all's relationship with Chip and Joanna right now?
Oh, Chip and Joanna are great. Yeah, we actually were at Baylor at the same time, and we have overlapping friendships. Like, funnily enough, we didn't know each other, but we would be like, oh, yeah, you knew that person. Okay, or you went there at that time or whatever. So we got connected with them when we were here, actually by James and Adriana Walker, who were Adriana and I were friends at Baylor. But anyway, and I think James had worked with the Gaines, and so Clint was looking for a shop to work in, and someone said, hey, have you called Chip Gaines? He knows a lot. This is before the show. Anyway, so long story short, we end up meeting them. They end up having us over for dinner. And we just all have these like little kids. And I think looking back now, I'm like, Chip probably was like, oh, come over for dinner tonight. And like announced it to Joanna, you know, an hour before or whatever. But anyway, of course, she was so gracious and sweet. And I remember she had like homemade bread. And I was like, what? This woman is like working and has like 4 children at the time. And she's serving homemade bread. What is happening? Anyway, and so we just sat around and really thought and dreamed. She had really wanted to start a furniture line. So she was talking to Clint about ideas and thoughts and all of that. And anyway, everything happened really fast. So it's just been interesting to watch through the years and watch them build their business and be partners on things and work together. And of course, yes, their entire lives have completely changed. So we don't see them very often, but we enjoy being cheerleaders and seeing what they're doing and encouraging them. And yeah, seeing how it impacts Waco, it's really something.
Well, the launch of this network in early 2021, I think, mm-hmm. is going to impact Waco in a totally new way. They're going to have about $10 million worth of improvements at the Magnolia Silos. Mm-hmm. So even if you had visited the silos a couple years before,
come on back.
Yeah, you have good reasons to come through.
For sure.
But Harp is involved with the new TV station in some ways, right? There's a TV show.
Yes, yes. Clint has a TV show, which has been aired in parts, and they've talked about it. It's called Restoration Road with Clint Hart. I'll check to make sure I can say that, but I'm pretty sure that's been revealed. Yeah. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, and they had prior episodes of this doing teasers and stuff last year.
Yeah, little pieces of it.
I remember watching that.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully I'm not saying something. Sometimes I forget what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not. And also, of course, this has been extended several times. Too bad. It was meant to be debuted like right now. So, of course, with COVID and everything, it's been pushed back. But yeah, so it's really exciting. The Gaines were awesome in being like, okay, Clint, here's a couple of ideas of what we're wanting. What is exciting to you? What works together? And he is getting to shoot a really cool show, and I'm really excited for people to get to see it.
And outside of your connection with Chip and Joanna, and even outside of Clint's personal work, you have your own distinct style. You had done children's clothing and pillows, and your Instagram is just full of mom tips, and you... very openly living your life. I would encourage anyone here to follow Kelly on Instagram if you want to understand the ups and downs of a working mom. I think that it's a really unique and authentic take.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Well, yeah, I have an interesting relationship with Instagram. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just getting off. You know, I think we're all – I haven't seen Social Dilemma. I know everyone's talking about it. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Okay,
I'm like, a little too scared to watch it.
I know that all this stuff is turning my brain to garbage.
I don't need anyone else to tell me that.
I know. Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I think from the beginning, I did develop this crazy – it was just like – multiplication followers, you know, of people who love the show and then love some of the projects we did and everything. It was really cool to interact. And I think from the beginning, I felt this kind of calling of like, I've been given this platform and I don't want my life to ever look perfect, or I want to be able to share with people like the craziness of all of it and everything, because I hate that idea, and I know most of us do, of like, you know, have you heard that, where it's like we're comparing our insides with everyone else's outsides, and then all of course the mental health aspect of that and everything. And I think we're just even learning to understand all that. So anyway, I always wanted to do that. But of course, even just that is tough, because I'm not really going to show you like what I actually look like on the worst day that I very first wake up. You know what I mean? So you're really not totally see. Or I'm not going to be like, yeah, Clint and I just had a huge fight. You know, there are boundaries that need to be there. But anyway, and that can kind of touches on the whole like reality show is never really reality, and, you know, social media. Anyway, whatever, smarter people than us can debate all that and tell us what to do later. But anyway, that was really what I enjoyed putting out into the world. But sometimes I would kind of just be like, oh, is this really helping? Like, what's going on? And I would go back and forth. I tend to veer towards like the existential questions of life, so I can like get way off in the clouds about things. But anyway, I really had like a personal awakening, as I know so many of us have this year, with everything going on. Really, when everything happened with the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery, and then George Floyd's death, I just had such a personal awakening and a realization of just the realities of what people of color are going through in our country that I really had no idea. As a white woman, I had no idea. I did have some idea. It's not like I had no understanding of that or done no work in that space, but it still felt, to use a biblical reference, like scales falling off my eyes, like a huge awakening. And so I just shared a lot of that on my Instagram, and that's been interesting.
It does definitely provide a lot of healthy discussion in the comments. Some people supporting you,
yeah.
Other people telling you to shut up and sew a pillow.
Right,
stay out of politics.
Right. Yeah, I know, that's one of my favorite comments. Oh, I can't believe you're speaking about, you know, politics. Oh, right. Why would a business owner speak about politics? Why would a mother speak about politics? Why would a woman speak about politics? You know, lots of questions. And it is very interesting and sticky, but I do try to continue to be my authentic self while also trying to promote community. And I know that this is not just a an awakening that I have had. It is an awakening a lot of us have had. But it's also, I'm still an infant in that awakening, you know, and just trying to navigate all of that has been really crazy. But I hope to be a voice of encouragement that people are not alone. I think that's kind of the common theme for me, is just wanting people to not feel alone in their young motherhood or middle motherhood that I'm in now, or their American experience and their experience of what's going on, you know, right now. And I do have a platform and a voice, and I do hope, you know, to use it for good.
How has the way that you interact with Waco changed in the last 5 years?
Mm. That's interesting. Well, I figured out where the Democratic headquarters are yesterday. So that's like a really big
shout out, Mary Duty.
Oh my gosh, Mary Mann. Hi, Mary Mann. Okay, so that's a very recent change.
Do you still go to HEB?
Well,
you're not that famous,
shout out,
right?
No, I am not that okay. famous. Shout out to Curbside for sure. I love HEB. Austin, can I come on sometimes and talk about HEB?
I do feel like the whole COVID pandemic has given everyone a renewed gratefulness for HEB.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they were able to keep their supply chains up and running.
Absolutely.
In the way that a lot of other grocers were not able to.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, have you seen all the memes that are like, can HEB run the country? You know, and I'm like, yes, vote for HEB. I really am an introvert. I do really like people though, but I like to say I play an extrovert on Instagram. I think that's funny. Anybody else does. But anyway, so I do like to hide sometimes. Like I do feel when I'm like at Target or HEB or whatever, you know, that I'm always a little bit feeling like I'm being watched. That's not a good way to say it. I do feel a little bit like I'm out, you know? Mm. But that's okay. I've really, gotten used to that, and people are so great, and I really love people, so I like being able to talk to people, but I do feel like, okay, I'm in my pink sweatpants here, oh well, you know. And one nice thing is I do feel like actually wearing a mask sometimes makes people even more incognito, but then I also say that, and I'm like, it's not like people are like, oh my gosh, I had a Kelly Arp sighting, you know, nobody.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective. You are the most famous person in the world to some people.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if that's true. But, anyway, I do feel a little bit out. I don't know. There's probably a better way to describe it. But that's okay. It doesn't change my daily routines or anything. I mean, when I see a Waco Tours van, you know, that's always interesting. But it's so cool. I mean, I know change is change, right? So it's like there's the good and the bad, but there's so many cool things about what's happened in Waco, and I feel honored to be a really small part of that.
We are all adjusting to the new normal. Most of us do not need to deal with the level of fame that Clint and you and the Associated parties deal with, but we're all dealing with the new once again. Kelly Harp is co-owner and designer of Harp Design Company. They have a ton of cool stuff coming out for the rest of this year, holidays, and particularly in 2021, when Clint's TV show will air on the Magnolia Network. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing some of your story with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Kelly Harp, Dana Anderson of Waco Haunted Houses, and you for tuning in to episode 92 of Downtown Depot. Find me on social media at Waco Business News for updates in between episodes. This feed is a great source for keeping up with the latest developments in our town. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.